This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the Little Boogeyman. All right.
Coming down the aisle, the WCW Podcast Champions of the World, Boomer and Blaze.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an exciting edition of the Boomer and Blaze Show. I am Boomer.
And I'm Blaze.
And wow, like, Blaze, the studio looks amazing. I don't know if you had time to get all that done or where the hush money came from, but that looks like SummerSlam money over on your end, buddy. What are we doing? Do we got some pictures of the little pigs going out there? Is that what's little? Looks great. We're actually trying a new service, if you will, this week. Someone's playing with some new toys, and we're going to see how this goes because we're tired of the podcast guys hating us every time we go to record. Something happens.
Yeah,
your arm disappeared.
We
apologize. I didn't know until I went to listen to it, and I let him know about it, and we apologize for that. It sounded great when we were doing it. I don't know. You know.
Yeah, I didn't realize it either. So,
that darn technology.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this goes. Yeah, we'll see how it works when you have to. I think you kind of experimented there, so we'll see how it goes when you have to pop up these different pictures. Are you ready for all that? Are you ready to?
Yeah.
He thinks he's ready. We're gonna find
also,
out. Go ahead.
If people are interested, there's also an option for us to stream our recording. So if you wanted to join in and talk while we're recording, I'll have to do a lot of editing. But if people are interested, I'm just to give it a shot.
Just throwing it out there that since we would have this ability, that it, you know, if we raise this money, because we know you would love to see a live broadcast of the Boomer and Blaze Show from Cleveland, Ohio, from summer, we could go early.
Yeah.
And we could broadcast before the show. We could have a show right there in the fucking parking lot. We could live stream from SummerSlam.
Awesome.
I mean, that would be.
That would also be cool. That's not what I was.
That's where my mind goes, right?
That's where you and I like where your mind goes.
Listen, we've talked about this. You can go in the archives. We've talked about this, that a dream would be like a bus and to be able to go to like all the places that these took place when we're like doing these pay-per-views and shit, but you know, that's major hush money we don't have yet, so we got to kind of, but we do have an option of live stream. I was being a smart aleck, but
I'm more similar, I'm more thinking like we could live stream this and like in between while we're watching the matches, you could get our like reactions while we're watching the pay-per-view.
Oh my, we say some things on the podcast, but we also say some shit when we're watching the matches. Doesn't make it because we forget, or it just kind of, you know, diarrhea of the mouth. It just comes out
that won't necessarily be able to put the match on here while we're live streaming, I don't think.
Right. It would have to be like a picture of us watching. You would literally have to be watching us watching it. You couldn't like actually
watch it.
Yeah. It'd be a bunch of creepers.
You know, this has shared screen sharing.
Yeah.
I wonder if I can screen share the cock.
Let me tell you, there's many ways screen sharing the cock can go. You know what I'm saying?
sometimes.
Not that I've ever done that. I've never done that, but yeah. I'm just saying there's a couple ways that could go.
That's specifically for the Boomer and Blaze OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's the way that goes. But as you can see, also this week we're going to be going back and doing some WCW, WCW time again. Okay, Stampede, if you will, babies. A Dusty Rhodes creation. And I don't know if I've ever seen this one. This is what I know about the Bunkhouse Stampede. It's no rules battle royal. Who the hell wouldn't like that? It's a battle royal, but anything goes. Weapons, you come in your street clothes, anything goes. But what I can't figure out about this one is it's in a cage, so I'm not sure how the eliminations are going to work. Normally in a Bunkhouse Stampede, it's like a battle royal. You throw your opponent over the top. But there's a steel cage around this fucking thing, so I'm not sure how the eliminations are going to work. But yeah, this is a battle royal street fight. That's exactly what the Bunkhouse Stampede is.
So this is essentially their Royal Rumble?
Not only that, I mean, we should have saved this till we started, but this actually aired, this went up against the Royal Rumble back in this time, like back in 1988. This went up against the Royal Rumble. So there you go. Dusty's like, I got an idea. Got an idea, babies. I got an idea.
This just made things a little more interesting. We're really focusing on Royal Rumbles right now because our last paper.
Right. Isn't it crazy how it's just kind of.
Our last two paper reviews have been Royal Rumble. We did the current Royal Rumble, 1999's Royal Rumble, then we got Bunkhouse Stampede.
Which is kind of like a Royal. Yeah, it's kind of like things just. Yeah, the timing's been crazy, especially last week or the week before. You know, it was the week before. We were talking about The Rock because The Rock had come back. Cody brought him back. That was how long it had been between recording. But on that episode, everything we're talking about is Rock, 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 and then Rock Bottom was the pay-per-view. It's just like everything's kind of like been falling right in the right timeline. You know, that's just luck. That's all. All right, well, let's test your skills. We're a little late, but let's share our happy St. Patty's Day with everybody. We shared it on the Facebook page and all that, but happy late St. Patrick's Day to everybody. I'm sure a lot of people had a lot of fun. I had to work and it was a nightmare. I just wanted to tell you that. So that's how that went. Restaurant business, we were so busy. We ran corned beef and cabbage as a special, so people came for the corned beef and to get hammered. It was. We had live music. I was shocked on a Sunday that many people came out and were there that long for work night. So yeah, that was my St. Patrick's Day. No getting drunk, no rainbow, no leprechauns. I was at work. But there you go. Happy St. And that's great, right? My Photoshop skills that I learned from my mentor. I don't even like it when they look cheesy. It's great stuff. It's good. It's good. And I made it that morning. Like, I just had this moment before, like, oh, we need something for St. Patrick's Day. I don't know if he'll do anything. So let me just see what I can whip up real quick. So that was it on the fly.
I forgot that it was St. Patty's Day at work that day. If you had said something, I would have probably went ahead and
how do you like that I remembered and pulled out your Austin 316? Don't forget to leave the beer out for, huh? You like that I pulled that out on 316 day?
Oh, I believe I shared it as well. So
you did, yeah, you did. But yeah, I keep everything, you know, in one folder. So there you go. There's our St. Patty's celebration. Did you do anything special? Did you go karaoke in or anything on St. Patty's, or did you just play video games or what? What did you do anything good?
I believe I did
work.
Not a damn thing, other than
work. Yeah. See, when you work, it's like.
The only thing I remember to put on something green. So, to be honest with you.
I did, but that's because he actually had St. Patrick's Day shirts made.
So, okay.
Yeah. So I worked. So we were provided.
Much else.
Same. That's what happens with that work life, right? That's what we do. We work and we go home. It's a good time. Try it, kids. Just try it. All right. Well, moving on, let's talk about a feel-good story because last week we had to open up. There was all these deaths. It was horrible. That's not how we like to start. So we're going to go to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I sent you a picture from him.
Good news, what you're saying?
We got some good news. We're going to do some positive. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I got something I can't wait to get to. But when it comes to this, if you did not hear this story, basically Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sold all of his trophies and his rings and like all that stuff from his career. And he raised $2.8 million. And he's giving every dime of that to charity for kids. And I applaud that. This was the statement he made afterwards. You know, when it comes to choosing between storing a championship ring and a trophy or a trophy in a room or providing kids with an opportunity to change their lives, the choice is simple. Sell it all. And that's what he did. So I applaud him for that. Because it's something you don't see very often, right? And I mean, I can see his point of it. Like, I can't say if I was an athlete or a wrestler or whatever. I imagine in my mind that if I was a professional wrestler, I would probably be one of those guys where there'd be a few things hanging up, like maybe my title belts or something. But if I could do something like this and raise all this kind of money for a charity, I would definitely do it. So I applaud him for that. And it's a feel-good story, and we need some of that in the world, you know?
It's nice.
So kudos to him for sure. And like you said, you know, what are you going to do with this stuff anyway? You know, I think I saw a live interview with him where he said his kid, you know, like, what are you going to do with it anyway when I'm gone? Like, and it's not like I bring people over and I'm like, hey, come check out my championship rings. Like, he didn't even have this stuff displayed. He's just not one of those. That's funny how all celebrities are different no matter what they're in. Like, some people are very, they don't want themselves everywhere, and then other people are like, they want themselves. You know, Gene Simmons is famous for, Bret Hart's another one. I don't know if you've seen footage from inside Bret's house, but Bret Hart loves him some Bret Hart. I don't know, because again, I'm not famous, but I think it would feel weird. Not to maybe have one or two things, but I collect this stuff because I'm a nerd, but like, I'm not Hulk Hogan. If I was Hulk Hogan, I don't think I'd want myself like everywhere. I'm not saying I wouldn't have a thing or two, but I wouldn't want, or if it was me, it'd be like me with other celebrity, but Brett has like all his posters and magazine covers, and he's just like, yeah, Hitman, and in case you don't know, like, there's nothing of me back. There's nothing of me back here. This is not, I don't know.
Let me put it to you like this. If the Rage and Blaze show becomes huge, I'll have a room dedicated to the Blazer.
So I'll have a room. I will be there.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely have some stuff, but you know, everybody's different. That's what I said. You know, you never know. But good move by Kareem. I'm glad to see that, and it's a feel good story. And we got, what we're going to do next is we're actually going to jump to the one you want to share. Yeah, we're going to go next with yours. Cause I want to hear you talk about it. I think there's even some episodes out, but I have not seen it. Isn't there two out already?
There's two episodes, I believe, that came out. Yeah. 1 second.
Yeah. We'll let you pull that up. What we were talking about though, in my opinion, is one of the greatest cartoons. It's right up there with Batman, Batman the Animated Series and X-Men 97 are probably the two of the best cartoons animated series ever made, in my opinion.
Yeah. So first up, I'm gonna start this off with some disappointment. I've been rewatching the original X-Men, the original series that this is a sequel. And I'm in the second season, and I feel like, first off, that song is, I believe the kids say fire. That song is fire.
That song is. I believe the kids say fire.
That X-Men theme song, okay? The X-Men theme song is a lit, using another popular slang term.
Definitely. It is definitely lit. I'm picking up what you're laying down, but I think that's old. No one uses that anymore.
The stories are interesting. Because the stories are X-Men stories. So a lot of it's, has to do with the Friends of Humanity constantly attacking the X-Men or all mutants because... You know, only good mutant is a dead mutant to them.
Yeah.
So the stories are alright, but some of the fight scenes, it must have been nostalgia that loved it, because some of it's weak. I mean...
Well, again, you know, when you're a little older and you go watch this stuff, of course, it's a little different to us, but...
But I wanna argue, baby, that around the same time that X-Men first came out, there was another cartoon that came out. A little bit of a show called Batman the Animated Series.
Batman the Animated Series, yeah.
And I've been rewatching that as well. Has good choreographed fights. The X-Men one is just very... Now, maybe it'll get better as it goes. I'm only in the second season, but a lot of the fights are just very cookie cutter. It's very slow paced, almost like a turn based RPG.
Because they were both animated series, but I feel like Batman, even though kids could watch it, Batman was still a little more mature. You know, X-Men was more of the we used this when we were talking about country and stuff with Achy Breaky Heart and all that. X-Men was kind of popcorn hero stuff. The show was, you know, it was more directed towards the kids, where Batman was a lot more. We talked about it. Perfect example: Family Guy, Simpsons. I think it's that kind of dynamic. You know,
yeah.
X-Men was the Simpsons. Batman, like, if anybody could take Batman the Animated Series and make that into a film, it would be the best Batman film ever.
But here's the thing.
You know, I think that's part of the difference there.
The story and themes in X-Men, they're pretty, I mean, they're very mature. I mean, you're talking
about... Yeah, but it's...
It's racism.
But I mean, like, the...
Your story is racism.
Right. But I was talking about as far as the battles themselves are kind of, you know, like G.I. Joe. All that fire always went off and no one ever got hit. You know, it's kind of just kind of like that kind of thing, you know.
Now, another thing that does frustrate me about the original is second season in, I swear to God, Storm constantly gets randomly shot down by some redneck with a laser pistol. I swear I've seen it happen like 4 or 5 times. This is an Omega level mutant. And she is constantly getting randomly shot down. She's just flying around. That woman needs to go to the coaches on dodgeball. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Yeah, you know.
You can dodge some wish version of Steve Austin with a pistol, okay?
Plus, you're
obviously you're not dodging very well.
Plus, you're storming. You don't even have to dodge. You could just like throw some fucking wind or something and redirect it, right? Like, how are you getting shot down all the time? You have so many options. Constant, what is going on?
Shot down by some. And it's not like we're not talking about Mr. Sinister, Apocalypse, fucking Magneto. We're talking about some yokel with a gun, a laser pistol, because they don't use
the nobodies. The nobodies that are expendable. Yeah. Those guys.
By nobody, it's normally a Friends of Humanity. That's the anti-mutant group that goes around trying to.
Right. Friends of Humanity.
A big story of them is they constantly are trying to make someone look like a mutant and then have them attack someone to make mutants look bad. They're dirty. But still.
Yeah.
Storm shouldn't be getting knocked down every freaking moment.
exactly. Should not happen. Yeah. I agree. I have not got to see any of it yet. The only thing I got to see, I saw a video on Facebook where it compared the original show's intro to the new show's intro.
Yeah,
they're pretty close. Cool. You know, they changed. It's cool. Definitely just changed
a little bit. Updated the sound. They made it like a little bit more of a rock version. So they made it its own. They've reanimated everything. Now, let's talk about, as some people say, woke X-Men 97. Because I don't know if you heard about this. I'm going to say right now, I feel like this was a mistake, but I know why they did. They had to go on record right off the bat when this got announced. Not fully. I mean, it's been announced like a long time ago. Recently, there was a report where they said that Morph, the character Morph, is non-binary. Did you hear about this? Did you see this?
No, I did not. No.
Okay. They had to make a statement that Morph is non-binary in the new series. Now.
Oh, you know what? It was a while ago, but now that you... Yes, I do remember it vaguely. It was before the series actually came out. I do remember this. But go ahead, sorry. I do remember.
This set off the punches. This set people off. And they took this one moment of them telling... Now, first off, you know who Morph is, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Motherfucker, he can change his appearance to man, woman, beast, whatever. That's the definition of non-binary, if you ask me. That's literally what it is. People got pissed. Now, I will say this. This would be a non-issue. I watched the first two episodes. Not once is it mentioned that he's non-binary. This is Disney essentially flexing their muscles. Like,
look at us. We did
yeah,
this thing.
They're trying to show off. They're trying to like show off, and I don't like that. Like we don't need labels. You know what I mean? Like characters can be what they are, but you don't have to like instead of them just they didn't say it because they were worried people get upset. They said it like, look at us, we're Disney and we're woke. Look what we're doing. We got a non-binary character. Like that's
obviously yeah. I have no issues with people that are non-binary. I don't mind that.
Me neither, but I don't. But yeah, I just don't like the way they approached it.
If they wanted to make a big deal about it, nobody would care. That
exactly
down. There's people saying that because of that, that they got rid of people because of their race or because they're not straight. People are trying to say that Wolverine is that they heard Wolverine is going to become gay. All because there was a report that said that Morph has a special relationship with Wolverine. Wolverine mentions in the original cartoon that Morph was his best friend because Morph was the only person that could make him laugh. And Wolverine does not laugh very much.
Right,
but
right.
They heard the special friend. They think that means that Morph and Wolverine are about to get it on.
Well, you know what? Even if they were, who cares? Let them get it on. You know what I mean? Why?
I'm
just saying. You know,
I would actually care. I would kind of care. You know why I would care? Because one of Wolverine's biggest stories is he's in love with Jean Grey. Like,
well, that's true. That's true. But I mean, as far as that concept, it's just this. It's just the way the world is now. You know what I mean? Like,
first episode, it's clear that Wolverine hasn't stopped having a thing for Jean Grey.
Yeah.
It is absolutely clear. Like there's a part where Wolverine is talking to, he's threatening Cyclops. Or they're talking about because Jean Grey is pregnant in the new series. Cyclops wants Wolverine to find this guy that they saved. Don't tell me what to do, bub. being all Wolverine-like. And then Jean Grey's like, Wolverine, please, find this guy. And that's when he does it. You know, you see him soften and everything. And then Morph has to tease him while they're on the mission, and he changes into Jean Grey. And it's like, ooh, I know why you were willing to go on this message. Or it's like, and she's about to have a baby with the most boring mutant on the planet. I want to say one thing. This new X-Men, I've never been a fan of Cyclops. He's too, Boy Scout for me. You know, I'm not super big into the Captain America, the Supermans, these full on, I want some darkness in my superhero. So this is
right,
everyone else.
Right.
That's why Wolverine's everyone's favorite. That's the dark
and Deadpool.
Deadpool. Literally every time Wolverine gets pissed off, why don't we just tear him to pieces? That'll show him. Like he's like the most unhero X-Men.
Anti-hero. Is. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
But he's always talking about cutting people up. But they make Cyclops because his power's kind of boring too, although in fairness his power is kind of interesting in the fact that his power is a hindrance if he doesn't have that his visor.
It's true,
he's a lot like Rogue where unchecked he's very dangerous. If he
yeah.
doesn't wear that visor, Rogue, if she doesn't wear gloves. But he moves around the way he uses his blast, he uses it to like quickly go back. And like, it's the animation is cool. The fight scenes are 10 times better in this new series. Which I mean, that's just sign of the, we have better technology. They're adding CGI with the cartoon, the 2D animation, so it's really looking cool. Storm, holy shit, it looks amazing. They mentioned the fact that she's an Omega level mutant, and she is badass.
Nice.
But I mean, it was this series
the first two episodes are really good. The second episode, holy shit. It is cool. And there's some big surprises in the second episode. Like, this show is what my nostalgia brain thought the original was.
Right.
I don't mean to make it sound like I'm insulting the original. I'm not. It's still a good show. But all the action that I remember being so cool as a kid and then being disappointed as an adult, it's in this new series, it seems like. I really enjoyed the first two episodes. I had to go on a rant. I will say is, you know, they brought back a lot of the original voice actors.
Right.
Which is cool, but also weird, because it's noticeable how much worse some of them are. The worst being Rogue's voice, you can tell she is much. She ain't as young as she once was.
25-year-old Rogue sounds like her grandma. Is that what you're saying? Come on, Wolverine, hurry the fuck up.
Yes,
bingo tonight. Let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. Yeah. It happens. You know,
to get the everybody voice actors, that's pretty cool.
It is, and everybody can't be Optimus Prime. You know what I mean? Like, he still sounds the same. Everybody can't do that.
Wolverine also kind of, you can tell. Scott or Cyclops, a lot of them sound pretty decent and similar to the, you know, their younger versions. Hank McCoy sounds pretty good. The two noticeable ones the most is probably Wolverine and Rogue. Their voices have changed a bit. Not that it's bad. And Wolverine still sounds gruff and everything. I mean, I think sounding older just makes him sound more gruff, which is not bad for Wolverine.
Right.
It's just, it's most noticeable to me with Rogue. But like I said, it's nice to have the original voice actors. Except for there's one person that the original voice actor did not return. I don't know if you realize this or have heard about this. Jubilee is a whole new actress. Because the original voice actress who voiced Jubilee did not realize when she was voicing Jubilee that she was an Asian character. She was Asian American. She's like, they didn't tell me that. I didn't realize it. The animation didn't make it obvious. So she actually refused to go to come back as Jubilee because she felt that belonged to someone who is of Asian descent. So the actress stepped down from being Jubilee. Now, to my knowledge, she actually does come back in a different. Like, the actress is still there. She's just not playing Jubilee. And that was her choice. That was her decision because she didn't realize she was voicing an Asian character.
Gotcha. Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, I will definitely check it out. It's on my list. My list is like this long of stuff that
good need news. To watch, it's only, they're like less than 30 minute episodes. It might be 30-minute episodes since it's streaming, you know. It used to be 22 minutes because of commercials, but there's no commercials, so it's probably 30-minute episodes. But there's only two of them right now, and they're 30 minutes.
Right. So there you go. Check it out. X-Men 97, and that's on Disney Plus, correct? Disney Plus.
Disney Plus.
Those evil haters. All right, well, let's move on. We're going to talk next. Some news about a singer, a particular singer that's gone country. That's right, gone folks. Country. She's gone country. Back to her roots. She's gone country. Look at her boots.
Oh,
she's gone country. Fuck Beyonce's gone country, kids.
Now here's the thing. Have you listened to her country song?
Boy, that's where I was going. So being the professional that I am, I did research. I don't know how long it is, but that's fucking 3 minutes or 4 minutes of my life that I wasted, that I could have like pet a puppy or something. I watched music video for Texas Hold'em. Yeah, Texas Hold'em.
Well, guess what? I have it queued up on my YouTube.
Oh, good. I can experience it again.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, my. You just...
I don't think I've heard it properly, so...
I just won't comment.
We're not going to play the whole thing. I just want to hear it, of course.
But let's just go ahead and...
All right.
Let's just sample some of this Beyonce country. Yeah, Texas Hold'em.
Texas Hold'em.
I won't state the obvious that there's parts of this video Beyonce looks smoking hot, but...
This ain't Texas. Oh. Ain't no Hold'em. Hey. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus. Throw your keys up. Hey. Stick around, round, 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 round. Stick around. And I'll be damned if I can't slow dance with you. Come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie. Real live hold down. Don't be a bitch. Come take it to the floor now. Woo! There's a tornado. In my city. In the basement. That shit ain't pretty. Rugged whiskey. We're surviving. A breakup, kisses, sweet redemption, passing time, yeah. Ooh, one step to the right. We headed to the dive bar. We always thought was nice. Ooh, run me to the left. And spin me in the middle, boy. I can't read your mind. This ain't Texas. Ain't no hold'em. Hey, lay your cards down, 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 down.
Down, down, down. My God, make it stop. Throw your keys away. Make it stop. What?
Don't think it's that bad. You don't like it, I take it. You're not a fan.
You remember, weren't you the one that showed me or told me about the guy that did like the stand-up about country songs? Like, maybe that's part of it. Like, she thinks if she repeats one word 12 times and like adds a little slay, it's like Dr. Dre still rapping about hoes and pimps with some banjos in the background. Like, is it really country? I think this is just Beyonce just being Beyonce, and it's fine. It's not a thing. Looking at her is great, but it's a little that's popcorny. And it's just a little weird. And it's not because it's Beyonce. Look, crossovers work sometimes, and I haven't heard all her songs. This one, though, is definitely not my... I'm not a huge Beyonce fan anyway. That would be part of the problem. Like,
I mean, I don't like country very much, and it was just kind of like... Now, am I going to go out and buy that album? God, no.
I will say the music itself... Like, the tune was pretty, the music was kind of catchy. I don't know. It's not my thing, but I don't like, you know, I'm not a huge super Beyonce fan anyway. Destiny's Child, yes. Beyonce by herself, eh. Oh, I'm a single lady. It's not my thing.
I definitely prefer Destiny's Child.
I will say that I don't like, because this was a big story too. I don't think it's right to hate on Beyonce because she decided to do a country album. Why are people hating on her? Don't step onto our turf, like we're having turf wars over Jen.
Hello.
Trying it, let her try it. Who cares? You know, like, so what? If you don't like it, that's fine. But I don't see a reason to hate on her, you know.
No, absolutely not. And I mean,
I'm pretty sure there's one guy now, maybe he wasn't a rap or R&B star, but I'm pretty sure there's one famous guy that was a lead singer of a pop group. Little group called Hootie and the Blowfish that then went on to have a pretty successful country solo career after that. Yeah, name was Darius Rucker. You know, I think so. I'm just saying, like, I don't hate her for trying it. That song particularly just isn't my thing. And I'm just watching that video, like, but the video is kind of cool. I kind of like it, looks kind of gritty, like they shot it on older film. And
of course, figure good.
Beyonce is not bad to look at. So, I mean, there were some pluses, but.
She's not bad to look at all.
But you know, don't hate on her though. You know what? Just don't hate on her. That's all I'm saying. She's a musician. Let her try something new. Let her try it. Look, I'm a huge Garth Brooks fan, and I can remember a time that he wanted to be an alternate person. He even performed on Saturday Night Live as his other character, Chris
his
Gaines.
His name's Chris Gaines.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I had that album. I had that album too, by the way. It was supposed to be a movie, it never happened, but yeah. So I mean, you want to try something different? Everybody does it. You know, Dolly decided to make the rock album because they put her in the Rock Hall of Fame, and she's like, "I'm not a rock and roll singer," but they put her in anyway. So she's like, "Okay, then I'm gonna make a rock and roll album," and she did. I mean, let them try it. Just not my thing, but I'll watch the video again just to make sure that I didn't miss anything.
It's how we all liked Shania Twain back then on mute.
Except there's actually some Shania songs I liked, but yeah, no, it's similar.
I like Shania Twain
too. So there you go. We'll see what happens. You know what? Like I said, more power to you, Beyonce. You know, do your thing. Do your thing, Beyonce. Do your thing. All right. Well, we're going to move on. Now, I just want to talk about this one real quick. You know, I love how Undertaker is all over the place and on social media all the time. And he just had to make a statement to get all his fans like, why you gonna say that now? Because it's not going to happen. But he actually now wants to come out publicly say he would have considered an in-ring return. But I may not have shared this yet on the TikToks and on our Facebook page that I'm going to. But someone sat down and did an interview with the Undertaker and asked him why Sting-taker never happened. Undertaker said Vince wasn't interested. And this goes back to Vince had this hard on for bad pun with everything going on, but Vince didn't like Sting. Vince never liked Sting, and that's why Sting always worried about going there in the first place. And I didn't realize it when Sting came into WWE because I think I was so caught up in him finally being there. But if you go back and like watch his Mania match and watch him on Raw and everything, they were burying Sting on commentary all the time. Like, his run really wasn't, they gave him a world title shot. It made him lose a Mania. Like, so, but Undertaker just flat out said Vince never wanted this. And everyone around him said, "Are you kidding? This is money. I mean, everybody wants to see this. Everybody wants to see this match."
Oh, yeah.
Vince had no interest. But I don't see Sting coming out of retirement. Undertaker, I think, is just a little itchy. He also said in an interview he doesn't like to go to too many live events because it makes him miss being in the ring. I don't think we're going to get it now. But it does not surprise me because I said it for years. I was really shocked. Sting was one of the few that actually shocked me when he did show up at WWE because I thought it would never happen. Because Sting was just, he was worried that Vince was going to destroy his character or beat him, you know. Yeah. And maybe they didn't necessarily bury him when he was there, but they definitely took some shots. And whether you're a Sting fan or not, it made no sense for Triple H to beat him at WrestleMania. Like, that made zero sense. So we'll never see this, but of course Taker has to come out and say, "Man, if I could do one more match, it'd be Sting." Could you imagine if we got to see it back in the day, though, when we really should have? Like, they could have had a great, even a few years back, they could have had a great match. I think when Sting went there, they still could have had, you know, a great match. But now I don't think we're ever going to see it. I just don't. For one, Undertaker is going to be WWE forever, I'm pretty sure.
Do we really want to see it, to be honest with you?
And I don't want to see it now. No, I don't.
I don't need to see one of them break their hips.
No, we don't need to see it. So I mean, we can always just talk about the dream. We can always do that. So
Sting has smartly been constantly doing, you know, tag team matches and not like singles matches.
I will say, as good as it was, I wish Undertaker would have got a match in front of people for his last match, even though that cinematic match.
Oh, yeah.
To me, besides his age, I think Sting had, again, it wasn't his choice, but I think Sting had the perfect end to his career. That AEW run was fun. We got to see stuff we never thought we'd see. Some of it was a little over the top, and he never lost, and he went out on top, and I think it was a perfect way to end his career. So we'll never get to see it, but it's fun to think about what it could have been. The next thing I'm really excited about, did you see the trailer for a certain documentary we're about to get? I don't know if you did, but we are getting a documentary on Bray Wyatt from Peacock. Bo Dallas is featured in the trailer. Not only that, Undertaker is the, why is the word slipping? The
host?
Not host, but he talks during the documentary. And the narrator, gosh, I could, it's narrated by the Undertaker. So
practically a host.
Yeah, practically, but you know, yeah, I couldn't think of the right term though. It's not like he's going to be up on stage like, "Hey, I'm the Undertaker," but you know, he's the guy talking, the narrator. Yeah. But anyway, there you go. April 1st on Peacock, Bray Wyatt becoming immortal. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I imagine it's going to be emotional. I don't doubt that one bit. But yeah, looking forward to it. And I'm still shocked. I don't know why Bray's not going in this year. They might still announce something, but I don't think he is. I don't know why we're not putting him in the Hall of Fame right away. Maybe there's a reason behind it. I don't know, but at least we're going to get a documentary. And hopefully, you know, I don't know if it's what he want to do, but if Bo Dallas wants to get back in and would like to continue Bray's legacy, I'd be all for it. I don't know if that's what Bo wants to do, but I would definitely be all for it. Like, come back and, you know, you can continue Bray's story however you want to, in a different character or whatever. But I say bring back Bo. I believe. Let's get Bo back in our life.
I believe.
And, of course, Bray may not be going in, but his dad is going in, though. We do have that at WrestleMania. So there you go. Bray Wyatt, check it out on the Cock. Guys, to watch the Cock. It's going to be on there April 1st. Becoming Mortal. I wish I would have sent you that. I didn't save it. There's pictures online. You know what? I'll share it later on our Facebook page or whatever. But it's going to be featured in this documentary. But they actually show a rendering of what Bray was going to look like when he brought the Fiend back. So the plan was for the Fiend to be back again. And the mask actually looked like the flesh had been eaten off the mouth. So like full mouth was exposed and you could see all the teeth. Wow. It was kind of a different look, but I'll share some pictures of that later. So they did have some renderings anyway of a new Fiend. All right. So Sting, Taker, the Doc. See, I'm following. I'm trying to be professional, kids. I think we're ready to move into wrestling, even though we kind of were talking about wrestling, but I think we're ready to transition on to some more wrestling. And yes, here we go. It's now official. Now, part of the reason I shared that is because I love the sign in the crowd. That's got to be the sign of the week right there. Kaoru Kishi. We get the face off and it is now official. We do get the Usos facing each other at WrestleMania. There were some rumblings, and it could be interesting. I don't think they're going to do it, but there were kind of some whispers about what if Rikishi was the referee for this match. That would be interesting. Actually, while we were recording, though, because, you know, I'm always, like, looking at everything, and I actually caught on Facebook that someone interviewed Rikishi, and he actually picked who he thinks is going to win. That shocks me. Being a dad, even though I know this is wrestling, I'm shocked he actually picked who he thinks is going to win, and who do you think he picked?
Jay.
Yeet. Yes, he did. So daddy's picking. We'll see what happens. Rikishi hasn't come in the picture yet, but like I said, there were kind of some little whispers about that could be a thing, but it's still a great sign, call Rikishi. And you don't get him, like we talk about it all the time. You don't get as many signs as you used to, you know, and it disappoints me. I know WWE sometimes is known to take certain signs depending on what they say. But I also heard, though, I never heard this before, but I heard part of the reason today you don't see as many signs is they prefer to not have as many because it does block people's views. Like, if you go back to the 90s and look, everybody had their sign up and no one cared, but you don't really think about if the person behind you doesn't have a sign, you know, they can't see. So I can kind of see that part of it, but it misses out on some of the feel. But when is the last time, how long has it been since you got to actually watch a Raw or a SmackDown? Have you been? You've been watching it a little, right?
I was watching it when CM Punk was injured.
Okay, and I only asked that because, and this is kind of off subject a little bit, but I don't know if you watched enough to notice the difference in the way they shoot it now. Like, there's been a change in the production. Not only are the stories better right now, the creative's better right now, but they're doing some new things with the production that I think make the show feel cool too. Have you seen like any of these shots? Like, they'll come back from commercial, and the camera will come through where the wrestlers would come through. And go all the way down the entrance ramp and then zoom around the ring. They're doing some things like that. They're doing camera shots where they come up through the crowd and they like go down, like they're walking down the stage. It's just, you can see these changes in production and the way the show's being presented. And I'm digging it. It's just little stuff. But for a while, WWE felt too, I don't know. I think for a while it felt like all the focus was just like, look at all these bright lights and how the arena's lit. And not enough like context to it. I don't know. It was kind of hard to watch for a while. It all felt the same. But they're doing some things now that are really cool, like camera shots and things to make it feel different. And I think a lot of it's just these stories. I have not been so excited for WrestleMania in a long time. Like, I'm more excited than I was last year for WrestleMania. Besides this, let's talk about tag team ladder match. We have a few teams that qualified, including the New Day.
New Day.
And I have to admit, now, don't take this the wrong way. I don't hate him at all, but I'm not as huge of a Big E fan as you, and I know your brother, really huge Big E fan. Oh, and no. It's not that I don't hate him.
Craig.
Oh, Craig. I'm sorry, Craig, not your brother. I'm sorry. I knew one of your people were, one of your sources.
Craig was. I don't know if my brother, I mean, I think he likes Big E just fine.
I think he likes him. I don't know how big of a fan, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. I will say, though, that the New Day just doesn't seem the same without him. It doesn't seem the same when you have all three, but here you go. We have
be their, like, manager.
Exactly. So we have the New Day. We have Awesome Truth, which I love. They're getting hate, and I don't know why. Wrestling, it's okay for wrestling to be entertaining. Plus, both those guys can wrestle, but there's a lot of people staying really. Awesome Truth, if they win the titles, that's going to be crap. Blah, 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 blah. I love Awesome Truth. I don't care. And DIY, by the way, first WrestleMania for both of those guys who have been there about 10 years each. Yeah, they've both been there about 10 years. This is their first WrestleMania, so congratulations to DIY. Bring this up because there's two empty spots, and I think last week I kind of threw out there that the Hardy Boys might be available. Whether they'll do that again, I don't know, because they did that once, even though it was a while ago. By the way, Matt Hardy was at Raw. That leaked out, so there you go. Anyway. But the other thing I didn't think of, and I'm not saying I heard this, but another possibility I didn't think about is the Dudley Boys just signed a Legends contract not long ago. And it's not, and I'm not saying there's going to be any surprises. There may not be any. They may fill this up. I'm just throwing out possibilities if there are surprises. Devon hasn't wrestled since they left after that last run, but Bully Ray still wrestles actively all the time. But yeah, they both just signed legend contracts. That's why the Dudleys are in the new 2K24 game. Get your copy now. And
cheap plug. Yeah.
Cheap plug, because we're not sponsored by them. So yeah, so there's another possibility if they're going to have some entries. I'm interested to see what happens. The only thing that disappointed me when they announced this ladder match is I still wish, let's do one of two things. Either split the tag team titles back up or just have one set of tag titles. I'd like them to go one way or the other. Just either one champ or actually split them back up and have your Raw champs. Go one way or the other. And let's get some new designs. Let's get rid of these belts that we've had them long enough. That's a little complaint, but just saying. But there you go. That's the ladder match. And we're going to end things talking about breaking down this whole Cody Rock, some of the greatest stuff we've seen in a very, very long time. Have you seen some of this stuff on social media from The Rock? Like, some of the people in the back are upset because Rock using bad language on social media. Rock saying cuss words. My good man, did you see Cody's promo on Raw? Do you know what the LDS stands for?
I do not.
Okay, well, Cody Rhodes cut a great. Now, we all know because Rock poked fun of it. First of all, I don't know if we mentioned it, that Hollywood Rock's back, and we actually got to see the Hollywood Rock music. He did a freaking concert on SmackDown. Is this the Attitude Era? I mean, so yes, when he came out, they finally did what I suggested. I told you Triple H listens to our podcast because I said Rock should have his Hollywood Rock music back, and he does now, and he did a concert. It was great. Cody's response on Raw was one of the best promos he's cut since he returned. And at the very end of it, he looked in the camera and he looked at and said, Rock, you have little dick syndrome. And he said this on Raw. He said little dick syndrome.
That's what
on Monday Night Raw.
You shared something on the Boomer Boys show. And I was like, what is that? On
the Facebook page.
I was like, told that's the, funny. But I didn't
realize after,
it was based on something that actually was said.
After doing like the classic, he did the old, you are the great one and you are a big Hollywood actor, but there's one problem. You have little dick syndrome. Like, so between what Rock's been doing on social media and Cody's promo on Raw, and I'm not saying they're going to go full Attitude Era, but it definitely feels like we're crossing back over. We're letting that PG stuff slide a little and we're moving back towards the adult content, and I'm all for it. I'm very excited about Mania, and not just this.
Triple H,
we trust. Not only this storyline, but just like everything, like the world title match. They also announced tonight in share graphic that Punk is going to be at Raw in Chicago. Now, we all know he's not going to be able to wrestle at WrestleMania, but Punk's coming back before Mania. And I wouldn't be surprised if Punk shows up at Mania. What if Punk gets involved in the Drew McIntyre-Seth match in some way? Like, they're obviously teasing when he comes back. He's going to feud with Drew.
Like a commentator or something.
Yeah. Another one I'm excited about is Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul. Listen, I think I might be becoming a little bit of a Logan Paul fan, man. I'm just saying that I feel, because you can tell he's worked on his wrestling ability. I think Logan Paul is going to be a good top heel. He could be a top heel like Roman. Now, not on the same, I'm not saying he can have a 5-year title run. What I'm saying is Logan Paul is a classic. He gets great heat. I love the brass knuckles. I'm an old school guy, so these dirty finishes with the brass knucks, I love. And to be honest, I think he's going to walk out of Mania still champion somehow, some way, whether it's the old, steal someone's finisher, like one of them, Randy Danielson RKO, and then Logan Paul steals the pin, something like that. But I think he's going to win, and that'll be a big win if he wins at Mania. But I think Logan Paul, I think when Roman loses, he's going to take time off, and you have to have good heels. And I think Logan Paul is a great heel. He really is. And his wrestling is getting better. So, yeah, I am becoming a Logan Paul fan. I can admit it.
So, Uber's doing just what he did with The Rock.
This is good for these people, though, right? It's good for these people because they become successful. They become successful. The only one that hasn't worked for is Austin Theory, but people just can't make it in this game. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, Austin. But there you go. I'm really intrigued, actually, by the two nights. I'm intrigued by the tag team match. How would you know? I don't see The Rock not getting over. I think the X factor in this would be Seth, too, because I've kind of wondered through all this, even though there was trash talking, like, what interest does Seth really have? Like, what benefit is there for Seth to have Cody's back and to be his partner? Not saying Seth will turn on him, but I think Seth is kind of a X factor, too. It's exciting. And Cody has to finish his story. We've talked about this. If Cody don't finish his story, we don't care anymore about Cody's fucking story. Okay?
Exactly. Agreed.
It doesn't matter how it happens, but it has to happen, period. Like, Cody has, and that's why it makes me wonder about the other matches, because they're not going to change every title at WrestleMania, but that's one title that has to change, without a doubt. All right. Hey, I think I did it all. Did you have anything to add to this WrestleMania storyline, the Build-A-Mania, any of the matches? Anything you want to add to any of that?
Well, I think there's a certain man who likes to tweet things that you need to talk about.
Oh, I know what we have left. I did never forget that, because I could never forget the Sheik tweet of the week. You just phony. Sheik. And you already know we love the Sheik around here. The Sheik he's our number one jabroni, baby. All right, this week's tweet, I also believe is a musical reference. I just don't remember it going this way. People all over the world, join hands and go fuck yourself.
Oh, yeah, it's like people around the world, join hands and go fuck yourself.
That is the way it went. I just totally forgot. Why would I ever question the Sheik? Why would I ever join in and go fuck yourself? It's a little smoother. The second time's a little smoother, but sometimes it happens. So there you go. Yes, the tweet of the week. Sheiky baby, number one. Number one. This isn't Bloodline. This is Sheik's number one right there. So there you go. All right. Well, we made it through our opening. Seems like our recording's going smooth so far. We'll see what happens afterwards and how much editing you have to do. But here we go. We're going way back. Going back in time. 1988. Bunkhouse Stampede going head-to-head with the Royal Rumble. Yeah, let's go. Let's check this out. I like the piano, by the way. I didn't know you could play. You got a grand piano.
I know how to play Heart and Soul.
And I know you're not the only one. Yeah, I remember that song. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I like that song. It's good. But yeah, I learned that from my grandpa. Anyways, let's watch Bunkhouse Stampede.
Let's do it. All right, so here we go. Let me lay down some groundwork before we talk about our first match. As you see up here, this is January 24th, 1988, and we are in Uniondale, New York at the Nassau Coliseum, 6,000 fans on hand. That would be like, you would be like crying if that's all that showed up today. Like, there's like 20,000 fans at Raw every week anymore. But anyway, there was a dark match, and I think we should bring this just because of who was in the dark match. It was Sting and Jimmy Garvin taking on the Sheepherders. Do you know who the Sheepherders are, my co-host?
I think I've heard of them. Is that the Bushwhackers?
You got it. Tell them what he's won, Johnny. Yes, that was their name before they became the Bushwhackers. So there's your dark match, the Sheepherders against Sting and Jimmy Garvin, which we saw Sting the last time we watched NWA. So there you go. Like we said, here's our answer to the Royal Rumble, or at least they think. And we start off with a TV title match, and it's beautiful Bobby Eaton against the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff. I like it. Look, it's like breaking news. We have new toys, you know, so we're like, I like it. I like it. We got a ticker. That's nice. Where to begin on this? First of all, when I was a kid, believe it or not, when I was young, I was a big Bobby Eaton fan. Of course, compared to stuff you see now, Bobby Eaton was, but there were a few moments like that. Dropkick off the top rope by Bobby Eaton was very impressive. And his finisher, we didn't get to see it, but the Alabama Jam, that drop from the top rope, you know, was sick when he did it back in the day. And first of all, let's talk about the commentary team, because your favorite commentator of all time, Mr. Bob Goddard, welcome to our pay-per-view. We got a big night, big, exciting night here. No doubt about it. And he's with good old JR. I love JR, but Bob Cottle is horrible. I have mixed emotions about this match. It was better than I thought it was going to be. I was worried about this matchup because Nikita is just so big. He's such a monster. And Bobby Eaton's not exactly bodybuilder of the year. You know what I mean? But Nikita sold well and believably, like made it look like there were some couple times there that Bobby had control. So overall, it was a pretty good match, but the commentary was bad, and I was not a fan of the finish.
Yeah. The finish was kind of weak. 100%. It seemed like, especially 80s in WA, they were,
I feel like,
a fan of this finish. Where they just
I feel like we saw this finish on every NWA pay-per-view we've watched. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe not. It seems like it's happened one time on every one. And look, I don't like it on.
If you use it every once in a while, like every 5 years, maybe, like it can be an exciting way to continue a feud. But when you overuse it and use it on every single pay-per-view, and you only have one pay-per-view a year,
yeah,
it really loses its fun.
I agree.
I think it's the fact that you use it so much. It's not so much that they...
Yeah. And then, with the TV title, I always thought should have been treated a little different. I don't know if this was before. And there to be a... 20 minutes was a long time for a TV title match. It used to be 10. And this might still be the period where after 10 minutes, you can't win the championship, whatever. But I the TV title, I'm not a fan of that time limit draw either. But... like I said, there were some cool spots. The dropkick off the top was cool. Overall, a pretty decent match. There was one spot where Bobby Eaton got sent into the ring post that looked horrible because these are not the ones they have now. The LED screens are a little more forgiving than those steel posts were back then, like pretty rough. But I guess overall, it wasn't a bad match. It was pretty good overall. There were a few spots where they took some arm bars and stuff. But like I said, I think it was a good job making it look like there was a chance Bobby Eaton could actually win this match. And Nikita did well selling, and so overall not bad, but I could have done without the draw. I would have rather had a double qualification or something. I don't know. After the match, the Jim Cornette and the tennis racket got involved, and everybody got him a little bit of that tennis racket. So that was I know one of your parts as well, because you know every manager should carry a tennis racket with them. Jim Cornette is he's entered. I'm not a big Cornette fan because he's a crybaby now, but he is entertaining. He's another one that, like, he didn't actually get involved in the match, but just his presence around the ring, it's pretty entertaining stuff, I feel.
Right.
He is definitely a presence or a aura around the ring. So So there you go. We're obviously continuing the story because not only did the tennis racket get involved, but Stan Lane, Bobby's partner, came out. So that's all fine and well. But again, not a fan of the finish. Also, I remember as a kid, I was not a fan of Nikita being a face. I just always thought he should be a heel. He's like the evil Russian. I know this all happened because of the Magnum TA injury, but I liked him better as a bad guy. So I don't know. You know, it was what it was. It wasn't horrible, but I could have done without some of it, and it seemed long. Again, I feel like a TV match should be shorter. I know they're all going to be long. There's only four matches on this pay-per-view, so, I mean, they're all going to be around the 20, 30-minute mark, but it's what it was. I'm just torn. I don't even know what to give it. Like, if you know what you're ranking, you could go before me on this one because I'm not even sure where I'm putting this yet.
I'm going to go with 1, 2. All right, that's it. Cut the match. Time will get out.
That's a good finish. Yeah, I'm about in that area. Maybe because of the antics at the end were kind of entertaining. I'm going to go 2.5 mullets because nobody has a mullet like Beetle Bobby Eaton. Business in the front, party in the back, baby. Know what I'm saying? Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Well, so there was our kickoff. I didn't cheat. I didn't look ahead. I actually don't know what's next. By the way, though, a quick side note. This experiment to compete with the Royal Rumble didn't work because this is the only Bunkhouse Stampede that was ever a pay-per-view. So,
yeah,
just throw that at.
They do have like a Royal Rumble style match, right? A pay-per-view.
Later on is when they introduce World War III. World War III comes later on, which is the three. They did the Battle Bowl thing, but that was a Battle Royal. That wasn't a Royal Rumble. Battle Bowl was the one where they did the random drawings to make tag teams, and then all the teams that won got to go to the final Battle Royal.
I thought for sure that WCW's version of Royal Rumble was a Battle Royal. Instead of a Royal Rumble, they did Battle Royals. That's their big thing.
No, the World War III one, which involved three rings, that was like the Royal Rumble. They came out one at a time, and it ended up being it was a mess. As a kid, I thought I liked it, but if you go back and watch it, it was just so hard to watch because you got three rings. You have like 30 guys out there at one time or 40 guys out there at one time, and it's hard to follow action. But that was their later attempt at a Royal Rumble was World War III. We'll get to that eventually. We'll get to watch that. Yeah. So there you go. All right. Well, let's check out what's next here on the Bunkhouse Stampede. All right. Well, here we go. Match number 2 is for the Western States Heritage Heavyweight Wrestling Championship. Say that 5 times fast in a tongue twister. And it's the living legend Larry Zbyszko with Baby Doll taking on the champion, the now two-time WWE Hall of Famer, Barry Windham. He did fit it all. It all fit on the ticker. So we know that we have some capability on the ticker. I will say this was better than the first match. And started off kind of slow, and we had a few, you know, hold spots. But I always thought, even though he doesn't look like your typical wrestler, Larry Zbyszko is a great heel and a great seller as well. But I think this match peaked. For a while, it was just like it was a decent match. It didn't feel really like a pay-per-view, but it was a decent match. It peaked towards the end. Those spots at the end, those several spots, like Barry just went fucking diving out to the floor and half died out there. You know, a lot of, I guess for me, what it was is, even though this wasn't over-the-top wrestling, there was good storytelling here during the whole match. Larry Zbyszko worked on the leg during the whole match because he's taking on a Sasquatch compared to him. Any little time he had a chance to take a heel advantage, he did. But every time Barry was on top, Larry was still like he was dead. Side note, Larry Zbyszko needs wrestling trunks that fit better. And we need cameramen that aren't showing shots that I don't need to see. Because it was more than ass cheeks. Like, I don't need to see taint. I don't need to see tan line. And Zbyszko needs bigger trunks. There were some shots I could live without in that match. I'm just saying, it wasn't pretty. Overall, I found this way more entertaining, and I did like the finish. I'm not always a fan of ref bumps, but if they make sense, I could go for it. And I know that the number one thing that you like is the shoe to the head.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I know sometimes you complain about it.
It would have made sense if you would have used the actual heel part of the shoe. That shoe was not big enough to even do a dent. At least a boot looks like it.
No, but if you watched the replay, he did make it look like he used the heel of the shoe, and it was a good shot. Like, they both made it look like a really hard shot. So I didn't totally hate it. The ref took the bump, and I'm thinking, well, we need a reason. You know, something better happen. I don't like ref bumps for no reason. A little bit of it cracked me up, but it's just small stuff. Like, as soon as the ref bump happened, Barry Windham clearly saw that the ref went down. But he went ahead and rolled up Larry Zbysko anyway. Oh, yeah. But I know it's just part of the match. But he rolls up Larry Zbysko, and Baby Doll counted the pin. So Barry just heard the pin and immediately gets up. And when he turned around, and he took – I will give credit, because I'm not a big shoe fan either, but it was a large spiked high heel, and I will give credit to him for making it look believable, because Larry made that look like he fucking Mike Tyson'd Barry Windham with that shoe. It was a really hard shot.
I actually didn't realize it was a shoe at first. Until the replay, I didn't.
Because he hit it pretty well. I wasn't sure what it was at first either, and then I heard the exciting Bob Cottle say, he has Baby Doll's shoe. Something's going to happen here. poor JR getting stuck with that guy. You're sitting next to the guy that one day is going to say, Mick Foley's dead. Mick Foley's dead. Oh, my God. But anyway. Overall, though, I found this entertaining. I found it was definitely better than the first match. They kept mentioning time limits, but that's just an 80s thing. I didn't feel like this was going in a time limit draw. The heel did his dastardly stuff thanks to his girl. The heel wins, and it doesn't matter because Larry's one of the last champions. This title's not around much longer anyway. They end up getting rid of it. So there you go. But, no, like I said, this was one of those leftovers from buying up, I think, UWF or whatever. So it's not a title that lasts very long. Plus, we're getting close to the sale to where this is actually going to turn into WCW real soon here. So
yeah, I think it's 89 or it's later.
Yeah, I believe it's 89, even though I don't know if it becomes WCW right away. But yeah, the official buy is like right at the end of 88 or the beginning of 89. Overall, though, yes, I found this entertaining. Other than the shots of taint that I didn't need. And the pimple on the ass cheek. Like, I didn't need any of that stuff. So let's just get some better tights. Good job, both men. Barry always impressed me because Barry Windham was a very tall fella, but he could do some very athletic stuff. I found it entertaining overall. I'm going to give this three heel shots to the head. Three of those high heels.
Three of those high heels?
Three of those high heel shots.
I don't think I'm quite as high on this as you are. I'm going with 2.5. Dude, look where you're going when you throw shit at people. also, I have to make a mention of when I'm guessing it was Barry Windham, or I couldn't tell which was this match. It's just partly because I just don't know these people as well. I've heard of Larry Zbysko, I've heard of Barry Windham, but, you know, it's not like I watched them a lot growing up.
Exactly.
When one of them gets their nuts, you know, the good old pull them into the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
And there is a woman with a Michigan fan sweatshirt, or Michigan sweatshirt, just rolling on the floor laughing. LMFAO. She's just...
Wow, I missed that one.
Yeah, she's having a good old time about that man's nuts being crushed, okay? She was a fan.
That's some good stuff. Good stuff. I actually do. Part of me thinks now, I've watched this Bunkhouse Stampede, but I think that maybe in one of my DVD collections I have in my, you know, actual media network that I own, I think I've seen this match because I know the next match is for the World Heavyweight Championship, and it's actually Ric Flair defending against Hawk. And I believe I may have seen this match. That's what we have next. We have our world title match. So let's check it out. It's time to see the Nature Boy. Woo! All right, so here we go. Our next match for the NWA World Heavyweight title, and it's Road Warrior Hawk challenging the Nature Boy Ric Flair. You know, usually I'm an encyclopedia of wrestling. I know quite a bit of useless stuff. I do not know, however, why we started this match already in progress, and it said due to production issues, this match is being presented as completely as possible or something to that effect. I tried to look up what it was. I couldn't find it. I'm assuming power outage or camera outage or something happened. So we actually start with these two already in the ring and already going at it. We don't get it, the entrance. We don't get the Nature Boy coming down the aisle, unfortunately, but here we are. World match. Look, it may not have been a five-star match, but I thought this was fun. I enjoyed this match. This might be the most Ric Flair we've seen Ric Flair since we started watching. You know what I mean? Like, we got all...
That's some good shit. We got him face planting. We got him begging.
Multiple beggings.
We got him being the dirtiest player in the game, baby.
We got body slam off the top rope. We got the head busted open. Hawk being an animal. Again, this particular opportunity for Hawk, this is all just part of No Magnum TA. But I thought it worked. And there were spots where Hawk was no-selling, but it made sense. Like, this guy's huge. This is fucking Hawk, you know, and he could be all coked up right now. You don't know. So he's like Superman. You gotta watch it.
I don't think they were trying to go for that sell, but sure.
Sure, you know, I pitch it any way I can. And normally, we kind of just talked about this. Normally, I'm not a fan of, we had another ref bump, and normally I'm not a fan of like DQ finishes and stuff, but it made sense in this story because Rick literally tried everything in this match and nothing was working. Hawk just kept getting up like, fuck you, buddy. We got the figure four in the match. And we're going to learn since we get to go back and watch this, because it wasn't until later in my adulthood, I've talked about this on the podcast before, but Ric Flair actually hardly ever won matches with the figure four, but yet that was the move he was known for. but he didn't win that often with it. But I know the favorite part of this match for you, this is the only thing I'm kind of like, but it, whatever, I guess it was kind of ha-ha, but that chair shot from JJ Dillon had to be your favorite moment.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that was the most devastating.
Oh, my gosh.
And, okay, I get it because it's JJ, but it makes it even worse because JJ was a wrestler. So, like, you know how to do chair shots. You weren't even holding the chair in the right place. Maybe it was supposed to look that bad on purpose because it's like it.
Hawk pretty much no-sold that, too. So.
Oh, yeah, he absolutely no-sold that. I would have no-sold it, too.
Yeah.
Like, I probably would have picked up the chair and been like, let me show you how you do a chair shot. I'll do it to myself. I don't need any help. Oh, we've done that joke. You know, like, shit. So Hawk takes two chair shots. I call it one and a half because JJ's didn't really count. And still made a kick out. That was kind of funny, too, after Flair delivered a chair shot, too. And after he delivered it, Hawk wasn't going to go down all the way. Like, he kind of started just going into the ropes and, like, sitting right back up and Flair threw him down. Like, bitch, I'm supposed to pin you here. This is the pin spot right here, bitch. And he kicked out of that. Then he gave him a standing suplex, which Ric Flair was really good at, considering how much bigger Hawk is than Flair. I know they weren't up a real long time, but those couple seconds having him up in the air like that, pretty impressive. He didn't even shake or anything. And Hawk kicked out of that, too. And that's kind of when Flair was like, you know what? Fuck it. I am not going to win this. There's.
Yeah, I can't beat. I can't aim on a heel doing heel things. Losing a match by DQ so he don't lose the title. That's
right.
It's 100% heel.
And it's even better heel heat because it's kind of in this situation, you know, Flair's just selling it like, fuck, I don't have a chance here. So I'm going to take my easy way out. I'm going to take my, I'll take that DQ for sure.
Intelligence instead of his.
Power. That's right, because nothing else worked. There was a spot in this where Hawk went for like kind of like the punch Teddy DiBiase used to do, like the diving. Flair moved, and Hawk injured his knee in that spot. So then we got the leg work, the figure four, and all that. The reverse figure four, which I know from experience of having the figure four apply, reverse figure four actually hurts. yeah, it actually does hurt when you get flipped over in the figure four. And visual. It's all visual, too, though. I like it, too, that the ref just automatically switches, right? As soon as it's reversed, you're asking the other guy, do they give up? But, you know, that's the way it should go. But overall, I thought this was a very entertaining match. And like I said, just getting to see all those little things that make the Nature Boy Ric Flair the Nature Boy Ric Flair. J.J. Dillon was entertained on the outside. And we also had Hawk's manager, Paul Ellering, was also on the outside. So we got a little bit of interaction between them. But kids, don't ever let J.J. Dillon give you a shot. If you ever see him, just don't.
Actually, don't. If you want to pretend to take a chair shot. Absolutely,
yes, JJ. And even like Flair's shot was better, but I'm pretty sure that looked like, even though it was completely blue, it looked like it was a padded chair, and he hit him with a padded side. So,
I didn't know it's padded, but maybe.
I think it was. I think they were just all one color because it's the 80s, and they just wanted to make them look that way. You know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but here again, like they're short on baby faces right now. We're not too far from one baby face, though, becoming a really big thing. Sting just came. We've only seen Sting once. So right now, Sting's not one of their top baby faces. So again, without Magnum TA, you turn to Nikita, and Dusty's one of your top baby faces, but he can't be champ all the time, even though we think he can. So they're experimenting a little. And if I remember right, Animal was injured at this time. So they felt they might as well go ahead and use Hawk since they had him. I am?
You are, because I've already done I've already set up the, you know, match art, and Road Warrior Animal is in the Bunkhouse Stampede match.
Oh, that's right, because I saw that too, so I'm not sure why they did that. Actually, I made a graphic for my TikTok, and it's Animal coming into the Bunkhouse match, you're right. So I'm still not sure why they just all of a sudden picked Hawk, but I think Hawk was just big. Fans liked him. Yeah, but you're correct. I myself made a graphic with Hawk or Animal in it, so cut that. You'll have to learn how to do that one. Anyway, entertaining, fun match. I enjoyed it. Probably the best match of the night so far. I'm going to give this 3.5 woos. Woo!
This was entertaining. I did enjoy it as well. I'm going to give this 3. It's time to go to Chair Shot 101.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Learn how to do it right and come back before you do that again. Now we know what the next match is. It's main event, the Bunkhouse Stampede. I assume we're going to treat the Bunkhouse Stampede like we would a Royal Rumble, even though it's only one pay-per-view. Like, we're not going to rank the Bunkhouse Stampede. We're not going to pick it for match of the night or worst match, but we will definitely break it down after we watch it.
Worse if it's terrible.
Right. Okay. There you go. And I have a feeling we have some kind of something we're going to have to watch, because when we paused, I noticed they're still putting the cage up. So let's do it. Oh, and I, random side note before I forget, I forgot to mention this. I told you off air and then forgot to say it on here. We have Tony Schiavone as the ring announcer in this pay-per-view. He is not on commentary. He's not doing interviews. He's actually the ring announcer. So, and he's got that porn stash going. Looks a little weird, but anyway. Here's what it's all about. I've seen a Bunkhouse Stampede, but I have not seen this one. We'll see how this works with the cage involved. So let's do it. Let's check out the Bunkhouse Stampede.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Main event, the Bunkhouse Stampede finals with the eight men in the finals. As you see here, we have Road Warrior Animal. We have Barbarian, Warlord, Arn Anderson, Lex Luger, Tully Blanchard, Ivan Koloff, and the American Dream. Dusty Rhodes. I mean, you can't really say it was terrible, but it's what it was. I will admit that before it started, I think I even said I didn't think anyone was going to get, maybe I told you that off air, but the two ways to eliminate somebody is over the top of a fucking steel cage. Or through the door, kind of like the Skywalker thing, you know, like just drop them. So I didn't think anybody would get eliminated over the top, but two people actually did. They, of course, crawled to the other side before they dropped. But Ivan Koloff and the Barbarian both went over the top of the cage. the trying to get some of the cage door looked really awkward. Wasn't that weird every time they did that spot? Wasn't it just kind of, I don't know, weird?
I'm trying to do a Royal Rumble cage match. It's just awkward as it is. Like, it doesn't. I mean, I get they're trying to do something different because they're trying to compete with the Royal Rumble. But the Royal Rumble is great because of its simplistic nature as well. It's just...
Yeah, it's just too much. And the one spot you have Arn and Tully working together to get Lex out. And they can't get him out, you know, and they can't get him. And there's like this, there's this point where Luger starts fighting back and Arn's already halfway hanging out the cage. But I know my, the point is to get you out of the cage, but I'm not going to pull you out when you're already halfway there. I'm going to punch you back into the cage. Like, I don't know. It was just kind of sloppy and maybe it was just too much. Like you said, they overcomplicated and it was just a bunch of bleeding and punching and I don't know. It was fine. Guess who won?
Surprise, surprise.
Guess who won? Yeah. You know what?
You know, we talked about X-Men earlier. You know what Dusty Rhodes reminds me of?
No.
You remember the blob from the X-Men?
Yeah, I do. I do.
American Dream Blob.
I do. You know, I think this might be one. I mean, I have a hard time getting into Dust anyway, but part of my, we all know how much I have that hatred for Jarrett, right? Jeff Jarrett, we all know this.
Yeah.
And I think, see, Dusty has a little bit of that characteristic that I don't like about Jeff. When Jeff Jarrett was the booker, guess who was on top all the time? Guess who was the champ? I think it's a, Dusty had some great ideas. And I think I said that before. Dusty had some stuff we wouldn't have without Dusty. War Games, many other things besides many of the pay-per-views we watched today were Dusty Rhodes creations. But like this match, it's the first one you ever did on pay-per-view. You're trying to compete, and I get Dusty's a big star, but to me, maybe it would have been better to put Lex Luger over, or I don't know, the Warlord, or you know, one of your young up-and-comers over on the pay-per-view, like, you know. And then here again, we're trying to do that underdog thing. Dusty wasn't even in it. Dusty came in the back door. No, he didn't. I don't know how you told it story-wise, but he's been in every Bunkhouse Stampede, so I'm sure at no point anybody thought Dusty wasn't going to be in this one, especially when it's on pay-per-view. Like, I just... But you know what? I feel we both... Go ahead.
I did not pick the right graphic, apparently, for the Warlord, because you know what the Warlord was? He was some dude that grabbed a fucking swimsuit or lifeguard shirt that he must have used war when he was a kid or something. Like, why the fuck are you here? You're not even trying.
Yeah, the Warlord graphic you grabbed there, that's from his WWF days, but that's fine. What's wrong with that? That's from when they were separated as a tag team and went on singles runs. Yeah, but you know, it's like, and then you got a animal looking like a member of the Village People, and that old sex. That was their sex outfits. That was their demolition gear. Old S&M, you know. But what I was going to say before you brought up the point about the Warlord was, I know this isn't the Rumble, it's the Bunkhouse Stampede, but I think you and I have a similar feeling about the Royal Rumble. Most times, most cases, we like it to be like an up-and-comer or somebody that wouldn't normally have a chance at getting a title shot.
Now, normally, fairness,
that's what you want to see.
In fairness, the person that wins this thing doesn't get shit. I'm sorry, he gets $500,000. And a giant ass boot.
Right. And a giant ass bronze boot. Yeah. There's no title shot. There's no.
Reminds me of the redneck version of that lake lamp that they had in the Christmas Story. Like,
that's, right?
That's what you want. It's the giant ass redneck version of that. $500,000.
Yeah. Like, listen to. This is going to be a weird on-screen moment. Just keep talking, but my tablet might die before we're done, and we don't want that, right? So just keep talking while I disappear.
Right.
Gonna have to find a device here.
Well, let me shut this match so far.
Go ahead and rain down the shit. I mean,
it's just disappointing, man. Number one, I mean, I guess WCW just doesn't have top stars at this present time. So, I mean, maybe it's because I know what happens in the future, but I mean, who amongst these people? Like, Lex Luger was the only person outside of Dusty Rhodes I would have thought would win this. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the Road Warriors, but tag team star, you don't see him winning it. Then you got
right.
Warlord and Barbarian, even if they weren't tag teams. You got the Warlord and Barbarian, need I say more. Then you got Arn Anderson, which I like Arn, and Tully Blanchard, who's also a tag team. So it makes right. sense to have one of them win it. And then you have
this is very professional.
Which, I mean, Ivan Koloff, I mean, I don't know much about him. I don't think he was a huge star, was he?
Koloff only in tag team, really. Not he was not a huge singles.
So another yeah. tag team. So the only two actual
you know what?
Wrestlers you have in here is Lex Luger and Dustin
sorry,
Rhodes.
Sorry, kids, I had to change my background because of battery juice problems, but I had to plug in. I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot to. I thought that was weird too. That, but again, I guess because there's no stakes, it don't matter. But you do have two tag teams in here and two other guys that are tag team wrestlers because you've got the Horseman in there and the Warlord Barbarian. Yeah. Realistically, when it started, my thought would have been Luger, Dusty, or maybe Arn and Tully because they're Horsemen. Once it got down to Dusty and the Barbarian, I knew.
Yeah.
I mean, no. I knew. You know, like, there was no doubt. But he's over. Like, we can complain, but the crap. But you know what? This time I did notice. Did you not hear some boos? There were some boos. There were some boos. Everybody was not cheering. And that was probably some people that know, even though the other ones weren't on pay-per-view, you could still watch. And that was probably some of those fans that saw Dusty win the first two. And they're like, man, again? You know, I don't know. It was kind of just clumsy, overthought. I would have liked it better without the cage and just do it. I'm cool with the no DQ thing and the weapons. That doesn't bother me. But I would have liked to just – we could have just done a battle rule with no rules. Like, we didn't need the cage, in my opinion.
The cage, yeah. I didn't need the cage.
Not in this situation. Not when you're trying to eliminate people like that. That's just not – it was just weird.
It's like they took the stupid scaffolding match. It's like, okay, maybe it was a little too high. A little high. So
listen, baby, listen. I know the Skywalker thing was weird, but, you know, we can't. Come on.
We really want to see wrestlers fall from large depths.
And then we all know how wrestling works, and we're supposed to suspend our disbelief and all that. But some guys were – if this isn't a normal cage match, if you go over the top, you're eliminated. These guys were climbing the fucking cage intentionally. You wouldn't do that in this match. You can't escape unless you're trying to eliminate yourself. You would not climb. It was just, yeah, it was a mess.
It's not proper selling.
Really. It was a mess. So that's what I think about that.
Honestly, but if they didn't do that, how do you get people out? Only through the door. Nobody's going to climb that cage.
But
it just makes no sense that it should never happen.
I guess I should have rephrased it as they could have made it look like the reason they were going up the cage is they were running for somebody or they were already fighting. But these guys were like just legit like, come on, let's go for a – you know what I mean? Like there was no – I guess they didn't really have to climb. Does that make any sense? Like they were just climbing. There was no logic. Right. I don't know. You should have never just had the cage. Get rid of the cage. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the first Cow Stampede did not have a cage. I also think it had more people. I don't think it was just the final eight, but there again, I could be wrong. I don't know, but this match was no good. So there you go.
All right.
So let's move on. Let's pick some matches.
Pick some matches. We can do that. We can pick some matches.
You can do it.
You can do it all night long.
And as you can see, as I move around to my studio, that maybe my wrestling nerdum is my nerd is everywhere. It isn't all wrestling. I got a stop sign. Elvis is back there. I mean, come on.
Yes. Understood. But here we go.
Oh, okay. We do got it.
Match of the night.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh. Favorite match of the night.
If you don't stop it.
Twice as good. Twice as good.
Twice as best. Right?
Double fun. All right. Favorite match of the night. I had trouble with it for a second, and I rated them both pretty close. I was fighting between or struggling between Larry Zbyszko and Barry Windham and Flair and Hawk. I'm going to go with Flair and Hawk for the world title as my favorite match of the night. They were both really close, and maybe some of it was just nostalgia, but I think getting to see that much Flair come out, and also just the story of David versus Goliath, and I can't beat Goliath, so fuck it, I'm out of here. I don't know. I just like the whole thing. They were both really good matches. There weren't really any crappy matches, except the main event on this pay-per-view, but I'm going with the World Heavyweight Championship, Road Warrior versus Hawk. And yeah. She was on the ticker already. Man, you're like, he's learning these toys fast.
Well, it's kind of nice. Like, you just...
It is. It's cool.
They,
I like it.
They all stay there. I think it saves the... It will save this for next time we record.
And, you know, we can chat with each other, too. I noticed there's a feature on that. So, like, if we're ever doing a podcast and I get breaking news, I could, like, shoot it to you. And you could put it on the ticker. That would be cool. Yeah,
that's true. So, that's true. I can do that. Absolutely. I know exactly how to do it, too. Good.
Very cool.
Not only that, you can comment. You can put a comment here, and all I have to do is put the comment on there. I don't even have to use the ticker.
Oh, I got you. Nice, nice. Yeah. Cool. See, we're learning. We got to learn about.
Go ahead and make
it. Oh, it doesn't show me anywhere that I can right now. I don't have that option.
Oh, okay. So
yeah. Sometimes it's there, but for some reason, it's not there right now.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Right. I'm agreeing with you, by the way, Ric Flair versus World Warrior Hulk. I thought this was overall a pretty disappointing pay-per-view. Kind of glad it's the only time we get this Bunkhouse Stampede, because I mean, it just, there wasn't much to talk about. Ric Flair being the best one. So
yeah, and probably, even if it's not wrestling-wise, I think that's the best Flair match we've seen so far. Like, that was the most Flair since we started watching. I remember the first couple matches, you were like, that's not really Ric Flair. Like, what's he doing? That's not, he like everything, everything came out in this one a lot more. So that made it more enjoyable for sure. All right. Oh, yeah, we got to pick worse now.
My computer's being
stupid computer. What is
worst match of the night?
Oh, listen, so we talked about it kind of before, and I'm doing it, and I know we didn't rank it, but it's the main event. No matches were great, but I can't justify that Cal Stampede being better than anything else on the card. Even the first match, which I gave the lowest score to, was better. Bobby Eaton and Nikita was still better than that thing. That main event was a mess. And we only have one. I'm going with Stampede.
I'm agreeing 100% with you. The Bunkhouse Stampede is definitely the worst match of the night. Yeah. And I think part of it's because you named the damn pay-per-view after this match, and it was not great.
Yeah, and I don't really know if they could have done it. Like, it was just, I don't think it was the performer's fault. I think it was just the match itself was just not a good idea. Kind of like the Skywalker shit. Like,
yeah, it just was a bad idea altogether. I don't know if anybody's making that better. I mean, maybe, you know what? I take that back. There are ways they could have made it more fun. What if, like, something like the first person eliminated was eliminated because they got thrown in the cage so hard that the cage dropped, and like the cage drops down, then it becomes a Royal Rumble.
Yeah. I mean, and you could also done like, and I know there's eight guys in there, but you could use pinfalls or submissions or both to eliminate guys too, instead of trying to.
That might have been actually, I hate that kind of a match, but.
But in this kind of situation, you know,
that wouldn't be bad. That would be better.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, overall, like you said, this wasn't an outstanding pay-per-view anyway. All the matches were fine. Ric Flair was a little more entertaining for us. So you expected it's what it was named out of. This was the whole point of the thing. And it was just like, here's Dusty again, you know, whatever. Everybody bled, but it was just kind of whatever.
Everybody hurts.
Sometimes, thankfully, we don't have to hurt watching another one of these. Yeah. We had to live through two Skywalkers. We do not have to live through another Bunkhouse Stampede. So there you go. We made it through another week. We'll do what we always do in a minute with plugging some pluggables. But I want to mention before I forget what next week is, we're going to be back with the WWE, and it's St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Yeah, 1999. And this pay-per-view is just for a debut. But I'm guessing you don't know exactly who debuted, because when I said the name of the pay-per-view, you're like, oh my. But yeah, there's a famous debut in this pay-per-view, 1999, the Valentine's Day Massacre. That'll be next week. A pretty big star in more than one way. Maybe kind of a giant, wink, wink, debuts at St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Anyway, that'll be... maybe. But let's plug some pluggables. That's what we'll do right now. Let's plug some pluggables. The studio looks amazing. Did you go to a different part of the house? I don't see the piano anymore. I think you moved in the studio right there. I see some different stuff. Your bookcase back there. Yeah. Oh, wow. Living the life over there. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
Anyway, you can find me at Dragon Blazer Productions on the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the YouTubes, and the TikTok. Then you can also find me at Dragon Blazer Pro on the X. And I guess you can also find me at Dragon Blazer, it's either Pro or Productions, on the Threads. It's time to bring Threads.
It's time to thread.
Yeah.
It's time to thread.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what we're threading, but we want to thread. So thread. I'm hip. To you kids, I'm hip. Of course we have the Boomer and Blaze Show Facebook page. You can follow us at Boomer_Blaze. Why do they have to make us change? At Boomer_Blaze is what, the X and the Insta? No. Yes, X and Insta, at Boomer_Blaze. And at Boomer and Blaze Show on the TikTok. There you go. I wish I could just make them. If they were all the same, I wouldn't have to struggle. But there you go. We did it. We plugged 2 weeks in a row. Roll. This is like we're back. We're back on a roll. We should be good for next week as well. St. Valentine's Day Massacre with the debut of a pretty big star, like we teased. And who knows what else we'll talk about, because, hey, you know, we like to talk about shit. So until then, this has been the Boomer and Blaze Show. I am Boomer.
Blaze.
And good night from the luxurious Dragon Blazer Studios.
Hey everyone, this is Blaze from the Raging Blaze and the Boomer and Blaze Show. Thank you for watching. Please like and subscribe for more wrestling content.